A Roman Catholic priest is a man called by God to serve Christ and the Church through the receptions of the sacrament of holy orders. As the Catechism of the Catholic Church states, the priest serves the faithful by building up and guiding the Church in the name of Christ, who is head of the body. A priest makes a lifelong promise of celibacy and obedience. The ordained priesthood or the vowed religious priesthood is a wonderful life of dedication and service to the people of God. Hi everybody and welcome to the Rainbow Channel. My name is Tony Polinis and I'm your host. As promised, this is the part 2 of the Twitter Space event I hosted with Father Ferdinand Santos together with Father Roniel Solit and Father Gian Maniago as we talk about the journey to priesthood and their priestly vow. Apologies, it took me a while to upload this part 2 as I have to give way to the election, but I hope you will still enjoy this episode. Questions is for the three of you. In your journey to becoming a priest, did any of you gone through regency or pastoral integration? And how was that your experience in the outside world? And what did you do?
You guys want to answer that?
Yeah, because again, Father Ferdy, our time is different.
Yes.
Reverend yes. JL, have you gone through that? The pastoral integration or the regency?
I've gone through pastoral spiritual integration year, but not regency. Mm-hmm. Pastoral spiritual integration year is a non-academic program within the seminary formation. During that year, I was exposed to the hospital. I worked as under the chaplain's office for 3 months in Manila Doctors Hospital. Then afterwards, I was sent to Samar for immersion. And then I also experienced working in a factory. And it is an important thing that nobody knows that I am a seminarian. And I was asked to live with the community and to experience their lives. During that time, I was also staying in the squatters area under the national power line in Valenzuela City. And it was a good experience because I heard stories and I was able to get in touch, to know the life of the people there. And it is during that time also that I experienced a 30-day retreat. A 30-day Ignatian prayer program for seminarians. It helped in my spiritual growth, and it made me more aware of God's workings in my life. But regency, I didn't encounter regency.
All right, okay.
Okay.
No, go on, Reverend JL.
Tony, you can go to Father Roniel now.
Father Roniel?
Hello, Sir Tony. So, like Reverend JL, I also had my pastoral integration. Because I think most of the seminaries, at least here in the Philippines, have that program. Again, it's a non-academic formation year. Our seminary call it YSPF, Year of Spiritual and Pastoral Formation. It's basically a one-year program where the seminarians are assigned to different communities to experience different, for example, monastic exposure. I was assigned in rural areas. I also tried to work as a janitor, again, like what Reverend JL told us, it's like a secret job where nobody should know that you're a seminarian so that you will experience how people are treated. Because here in the Philippines, when they know that you're a seminarian, they will treat you special. So you must not reveal your identity. So I was a janitor once. Then I was also living with the Mangyans in Mindoro. I was also with the fishermen, and I forgot the area. But it's like a year where you must experience different community life. So you will know better the life of the people you are going to serve later. So again, it like what Father what Reverend told us, it really helped me discern my vocation, to see where God is really calling me. So it's really a one-year program where you really will know yourself more. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Father O'Neill. Father Faraday?
Yeah, I never had one myself. With me, the situation was different. I finished my studies at San Carlos in Makati with Deacon's uncle there, Father Ian Maniago, who's a priest in Zambales. He was my best friend in college seminary, and unfortunately, right after college, they sent me abroad for further studies, and so I never really had the opportunity, even what Father Ronio was saying, to have a pastoral and spiritual integration year where, you know, seminarians are exposed to, you know, different communities, different tasks, different work. I never really had that opportunity, because as soon as I graduated college and I went to the next level of seminary, which is theology, I was already in Belgium, and I was there for 7 years, and it was all study. I mean, I did nothing there but just, you know, hit the books and try to get my degrees. And then when I got back, I started working seminary right away. So I'm really glad that they had those opportunities. You know, I never had those. What I did have was the opportunity to, you know, to be exposed to university life. You know, because like the two guys, I entered at a young age. My case, it was really, I went to an all-boys school from kindergarten all the way to high school, and then so I never had female classmates, and then I entered seminary, and you know, it's an all-boys environment, so I never really had any experiences with having, you know, female classmates. And you know, being in Belgium, in Louvain, I was 21. It was the very first time I remember sitting in a classroom at the university with girls. So it's like, oh my God, you know, this is a completely new experience for me. And so our life was much more open than in a regular seminary. So that became my exposure to the outside world. And it was very productive and meaningful. Tony?
Thank you, Father Faraday. There are a few more questions here. One very, very interesting question. This is coming from a young boy who is listening. He asked, as a young boy, how can I discern God's call of becoming a priest?
Let's ask Deacon there. He's the young
me again.
You're the young one here. Remember,
yeah, I can't remember when I was a boy anymore.
How can you discern as a young boy? When I was a young boy, thoughts about priesthood already came. And I nourished that. And I think I started to discern that calling as I was serving as an altar boy. And it helped a lot because it gave me that essential exposure in a priest's life. You know, the important thing is in discernment is that you know the options where you are choosing from. And then when you are exposed to those options, when you are exposed to that life, then you will understand more if it is really for you. So my advice for you is that if you at this young age are thinking about priesthood, maintain that close relationship and that immersion in your own home parish. Try entering the Knights of the Altar in your parish. Try serving the altar. Serving the Lord in the altar during Mass. That's all.
Thank you, Reverend JL. Father Roniel, do you have any input?
Oh, thank you. Because it is one of the frequent questions I usually get, because I'm a formator in the seminary. So most boys, when they are trying to figure out their lives, they are asking me those questions. How to discern whether God is calling me to the priesthood? So I usually answer them with this with what I'm going to tell you. I usually tell them to consider the acronym G-O-D, or God. No, God. What are those acronyms? I usually tell them, first and foremost, what are your gifts? Because God gives us gifts for something. Are those gifts leading or will help you to become a good priest someday? Because they were there for something. So consider your gifts. That's the first thing I tell them. Then, letter O, I tell them it's about others. What is other people telling you? Do they consider you, are they saying, oh, you'll become good priest someday? But that aspect's not that important, because the other one about others is about if you can contribute to other people. If becoming a priest will make a better society, will make a better church, then consider the priesthood. What other people needs from you? Can you contribute it to them by becoming a priest? Then the last one, letter D, I usually ask them, what is the innermost desire of your heart? Because if God is calling you to become a priest, He will put that desire in your heart. Because He's the one calling us. So that's in a glimpse my answer to them. Consider God, your gifts, others, and the desire of your heart. Thank you.
Thanks, Father Ronio. Father Fardy, do you have an input?
No, I would just second what both Deacon and Father had said. As a young boy, you really don't have a very clear idea where you're heading. What you have is an inkling. You know, when we're growing up, sometimes we're asked, ano ba gusto mo maging paglaki mo, right? And we, kids give different answers. You know, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a nurse, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be a pilot. It's fascinating to think that, how many of those things that we said we wanted to be when we were young, when we grew up, actually came to pass. But the fact is, even kids have an inkling of what they want to be. And, Deacon was saying, then you got to expose yourself to certain things that might actually help that, like, altar serving in church or becoming part of a youth group in church, And then with Father O'Neill, of course, he says, well, learn your gifts and see if, you have things that you can offer to others. And so, what starts as an inkling gradually, it can be supported. There's sometimes parents support their children in schools as well, support those inklings. Whether or not that inkling is going to actually become a full-fledged desire to become a priest, that's a different story altogether, and you kind of leave that in God's hands. Tony?
Father Roniel mentioned about him being a formator of the seminary, yeah. And you worked that as well. So with the Gosta, do you have any, or how do you treat seminarians with mental issues? Do you have any seminarians with mental issues?
Well, from time to time, I've actually had experiences. Remember, you know, I mean, there's not only physical illness. You know, there's mental illness is a real illness. You know, it's not a separate, you know, hybrid case that, you know, that, you know, from the ordinary illnesses that we have. And so sometimes there would be seminarians who would come in with different challenges. I mean, for example, you know, at the moment, depression is a difficulty, is a challenge that is faced by everybody, seminarians and non-seminarians alike. That's one of them. And it's possible that, you know, a seminarian could in fact have that particular challenge. How are they helped? As Father O'Neill was saying, you know, there's seminaries have psychologists, and they can be helped. If the challenge is such that the seminary can assist a student to overcome it and, you know, to be able to somehow transcend it, then there's potential there. But if the illness, whether it's physical or mental, for example, is such that seminary is not going to be a good place for the individual, you know, then there are many ways of serving the Lord. You know, I say that to seminarians, you know, sometimes they have illnesses that are just, you know, too difficult for the seminary to address or to deal with. And it is not right, nor is it fair to them, you know, to keep them in seminary. It's actually kinder, gentler, and more charitable, and better for them to, you know, to address those illnesses outside than in seminary. And, you know, that is not a punishment. That is actually an act of kindness. But those situations whereby a mental illness, for example, would be severe, those are very rare. You know, before a young man is accepted to seminary, he goes through a battery of psychological tests. You know, the life of a priest is very challenging. You deal with the emotional problems of people, and you try to help them. So if you yourself have emotional problems that have not been properly addressed, you know, you can help other people. That's why priests have to be, as much as possible, right? As much as possible, as healthy emotionally, spiritually, and as I've been insisting, physically, you know, as much as possible. Because it's the only way to really help people. You know, if you're emotionally unstable, if you're spiritually unhealthy, if you're physically unfit, then, it creates challenges for actually being able to help people. Yeah, Tony?
Thanks, Father Fardy. Father Roniel, do you want to have an input on that one?
I was actually thinking about the series of psychological tests that we give our seminarians. So before a seminarian is admitted, he must undergo a series of psychological tests. So basically what Father Ferdy was saying, that it is a really rare case to encounter a seminarian with mental issues. But if they develop them inside the seminary, of course, we hire experts. Because we ourselves, we are not experts about this field. And we do not pretend to know everything. So instead of hurting the person more, because we cannot spiritualize everything. So we need to address the issues. If it's a personal issue, it's a psychological issue, we need opinions from experts. So we refer them to psychologists, as what Father Ferdy was saying. That's
it. Thanks, Father Roniel. I just wanted to piggyback on that conversation. Would be before entering the seminary, right? But before your ordination as a priest, are you guys psychologically assessed or vetted before your ordination?
Actually, you know what happens, Tony, is that every year, several times a year, actually twice. There are what you call evaluations, and those are done by the priest in seminary, you know. So as a seminarian moves from one year to the next, right before he becomes a priest, you know, he's evaluated every year, and part of that evaluation is his psychological fitness. You know, once you enter seminary, the assumption is that, you know, you're good, you're psychologically stable, you're fit. Now, it's possible, as Father O'Neill was saying, that while in seminary, certain stressors might arise, you know, that can lead the priests, the superiors or the formators, to ask or to wonder, you know, is this young man still doing okay? Does he need help? Does he need time off? And so every year, twice a year, every semester, those are questions that are asked during evaluations. And if the point comes when, as Father O'Neill was saying, that the seminary and the priests are not able anymore to handle a particular situation because we're not experts in the field of psychology, then the seminarian is referred to a psychologist, you know, for an assessment, for a new assessment. But in terms of right before one is ordained, you know, there is no single psychological exam anymore, okay, right before ordination, because the assumption is the seminary has done its job of every year guiding the student, the seminarian, so that, you know, he can be assisted in his growth towards maturity. And if there are problems that arise, then those problems can be addressed. Not before ordination, because that's already too late, but during his time in seminary. And that's why seminary is long. I mean, it's 9 years or 10. I mean, the only other person who does that are their doctors. You know, so that's why people wonder, it's like, why are you guys in seminary that long? Why do you just pray for 9 years? No, no, it's long because the church, our church, wants you guys to have good priests. I mean, you know, we're not always successful at that, but we try, and the church tries, you know, to provide the people of God with hopefully the best that we can offer, you know. And again, you know, human nature being what it is, that doesn't always happen, but that's still the goal, that's still the ideal. And what I can tell you is, you know, being a priest and a teacher in seminary for 22 years, the two guests we have tonight, and Father O'Neill and Deacon Gion, I don't mean to flatter you guys, but, you know, the two guys that we have as guests tonight, they're pretty amazing young priests or priests-to-be, you know. And, you know, it gives me tremendous, tremendous hope, me that has taught priests for 22 years. These are amazing young men. These are amazing young priests, and I'm pretty sure they're going to be doing amazing things, and God is going to be doing amazing things through them. There is tremendous hope for the new generation of priests now, you know. So I'm very hopeful. Anyway, Tony.
Thank you, Father Fardy. And so I think we only have a few questions left. But before we end, I just wanted to find out with both of you, Father Ronnie and Father Fardy, what's your life now as a priest? Because I know Reverend JL will have his ordination on Friday, and Father Roniel has been, he'll be celebrating 2 years of priesthood. And Father Ferdy, I'm not going to count how many years you've been a priest. But
Too many, Tony.
What's your life now as a priest? Father Roniel, I'll go with you first.
Okay, thank you, Sir Tony. So after my ordination as a deacon, I was already assigned here in the seminary as a formator. I'm actually in the senior high department because now our educational system has changed. So I'm here assigned in the grade 11 and grade 12 department. And also with us here are those seminarians who finished their senior high outside and they wanted to become seminarians, so they cannot go directly to the college department. They have to undergo a one-year formation here with us. So I'm here as a formator, as a prefect of discipline, because I'm here, I actually teach from 7:45 to 4 p.m. That's my life here. I teach aside from celebrating the mass. So basically, I'm here with them as formators. I try to form them. I try to discipline them as a prefect of discipline. But again, the time is changing. So I believe that we also need to change our way of dealing with seminarians. As what Pope Francis has mentioned several times, we have to have this sense of accompaniment, a personal accompanying of each individual. It's not a general formation for everyone. You must accompany them individually. So it is what I am trying to do here in the seminary. And just like what I said, aside from being with them, I try to do vlogs with them. I try to show, especially to the younger generations, that it is very happy to become a seminarian. The life inside here is a life of contentment. So that's my little contribution to the world right now. Thank you, Tony.
Thanks, Father Ron Young. You've answered already, Father Friday, have you? Or not yet?
Well, I mean, again, you know, I mean, I'm really inspired by Father O'Neill here and Deacon, because, I mean, I can't even remember my second year in the ministry. It's been so long, and with Deacon, you know, I can't imagine the excitement that must be, you know, coursing through his veins as he prepares for his ordination on Friday. You know, and I'd like everybody to, you know, say a prayer for him, you know, later when we're done, and just, you know, remember him in your prayers, because, you know, he's facing a really beautiful task in front of him, but a life of tremendous challenge as well. I've done what Father O'Neill did for 22 years. My last four, I was the president of the college, and the rector of the seminary. That was a most fascinating and challenging task, you know, not only because I had to take care of seminarians, but I also had to take care of the administration of the college, and we got things accredited. You know, we set up an international online program for the seminary. And so right now I'm just taking a break. You know, after 22 years of doing the same work over and over again, you know, I came back home because, like I said before, I wanted to help the poor, and I wanted to be immersed in the life of the poor here in the country. And no matter how difficult things are, it's still an amazing work. It's an amazing life, and I'm completely enjoying it. So that's my life at the moment. I'll be celebrating 23 years as a priest this coming December 21. I can't even remember, you know, anymore. I mean, it's not too long. Some priests have been priests for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. But, you know, compared to Father O'Neill here and Deacon, you know, they're very young. And I'm really happy for them. Anyway, Tony, that's my spiel.
Right. I got a few more questions here. One is, can you still enter seminary at the age of 45?
Yes.
Or is there any age limit?
No, yes. In the States, I don't know here. In Manila, they have a seminary called Holy Apostles. And that's a seminary for individuals who are lawyers, doctors, architects, teachers, engineers, accountants, veterinarians, you know, who have thought of later on in life, you know, wanting to be a priest. In the States, the cutoff age is 50. You know, it's 50. Here in the Philippines, I'm not so sure what it is anymore. Father O'Neill, do you know?
Or Reverend JL, do you know?
Or, yeah.
When I was studying theology, I have a classmate from Holy Apostles Senior Seminary, and during that time he was 45 years
okay,
old.
Okay, so yeah, that's about right. I do think that's about the age, Tony, that they still accept people. Father O'Neill, do you know?
At least in our seminary, because we also have that program, like the Holy Apostle, we have what we call the pre-theology program, where we accept professionals. At least we have two requirements here. At least you have worked for 2 years in your profession, and then you must be at most 35 years old.
Different.
But, and can you still enter a different profession? Say, for example, Father Ferdi, you're tired of being a priest, you wanted to be a teacher, or be a soldier. Can you do that?
Well, I do know of a particular priest he's remained a priest, but he's decided he wanted to be a lawyer as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, he took up law, and this is in the States, and so he's a priest, but he's also a lawyer. And that really depends on, you know, whether your bishop allows you, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, for example, a priest is able to still study. I just finished my MBA, 2 years ago. I just, you know, I decided I wanted to get a degree in business administration because it would help the seminary, so I did. There are some priests who study psychology, psychiatry, and it's a specialized area, so, you know, they can use their expertise to help the church. Okay, so you still can, depending again on whether you're allowed by your bishop to do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Father Ronnie.
Actually, here in our diocese, we also have priests like that. We have priests who studies law, and it was actually encouraged by the bishops, because during these times, we need persons to, for example, in administration, so we need priests who study HR, something like
that. Right. Yeah.
But you can't be a politician though.
No, that is not allowed.
Never.
That is not allowed. If you do, you have to leave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there's another question here from someone. What regular or religious charism do you postulate in your ministry that your priestly vows or promises are emulated with?
Well, I mean, Father O'Neill is a formator, is a teacher, is a professor in seminary. So, I mean, obviously the bishops, and they sent him abroad to study. You know, he went to the University of Navarre, I believe, in Spain. And people who are sent to do that, usually they're very bright. You know, they're very talented, they're very gifted, and the bishops usually see that. And so, you know, they go, okay, you know, this young man is going to be able to contribute to the church in this area. So that's what they do. And so Father O'Neill's charism right now is teaching and seminary formation and you know, and education. And so that's what he's doing. Deacon Gion, I don't know what this bishop is going to ask him to do. So, I mean, that really depends on what our superiors, what the bishops decide we're good at. And then that's where we're asked to, that's where we're assigned. Yeah.
Reverend, currently I'm studying.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go on, Reverend.
I was asked to take educational administration.
There you go.
Yes. Right now I am in the second semester of my first year.
Tony?
Oh, nice. Father Roniel, do you want to say something about that?
Yeah. As what Father Ferdi mentioned, because we don't have charisms as diocesan priests, sometimes right. It depends upon the bishops, and also the bishop, at least in our diocese, he asked us for our interest. So actually, I want to study medicine. I already told my bishop. He just smiled. I don't know why. But I want to pursue medicine after becoming a priest.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Right. I know there are a few questions as well regarding, you know, sexual scandals with the Catholic priests and all that. Is there any policies or anything that the church is doing about it with such, you know, sexual scandals, especially those who are being publicized?
Right. You know, so I just came back from the United States. The bishops of the United States, of course, have, you know, what is called the Dallas Charter. They it was crafted a couple of years ago to precisely to address the situation. It's a terrible, terrible situation. It's a crime, and as Pope Benedict and Pope Francis says, it is a crime that cries to heaven for redress. It is a tremendous, tremendous source of shame and embarrassment for us priests too. You know, I mean, it's awful. For the longest time, you know, it felt like it was a millstone, you know, tied around our neck. You know, we are suspect simply because we are priests. A couple years ago, there was this this mom, and she was talking to me, and you know, her son wanted to enter the seminary, right? And so she came to me and she says, "Father, I am a Catholic, and I love the church, but I need your help." I said, "Sure. I mean, what can I do for you?" She says, "I need you to convince my son that he should not be a priest." I said, "Well, but why?" And she says, "The scandals, Father, the scandals. No son of mine is going to suffer, you know, having to live through that." And, you know, while I was shocked with what she said, I put myself in her shoes. If I were a mom or a dad, and my son would like to join a profession, if you will, where, you know, the individuals who, you know, who are in that profession suffer because they are, you know, looked upon with suspicion simply because of the actions of, you know, some bad apples in the group, I completely understood where she was coming from. And so what did I tell her? I said, "You know what? I completely understand what you're saying, and I feel for you, and I feel terrible as well with what is happening. But unfortunately, you know, what your son is feeling is between him and God, and I cannot interfere in that. So, I mean, I unfortunately cannot dissuade him, but, you know, I will pray for him, and if he asks me, then, you know, I will say, you know, listen to what the Lord tells you, but pay attention also to what your mom says to you, because you're his mom. But anyway, going back to the original question, so the church, both in the United States and here in the Philippines and globally, okay, have instituted many rules, many laws, since all of these things have happened, to guarantee that minors and vulnerable adults are protected, but most especially, you know, minors and young people. Again, it's a terrible, terrible crime. It's a terrible situation. We've learned our lesson. It's embarrassing for the church. It shouldn't have happened, but it did happen. And the church is, as Father O'Neill was saying, you know, we now employ psychologists as well to enable us to understand that, you know, it is an illness. It's an illness. And sadly, it's an illness that cannot be cured. Pedophilia is an illness that cannot be cured. And so, you know, the church has to be very vigilant and very careful with regard to those that it admits to seminaries, you know, so that in the future we can avoid situations whereby the innocent children and the vulnerable, you know, become victims of such crimes, and they are crimes. Tony?
Thank you, Father Fardy. Reverend JL, you know, hearing those news did affect you on your journey to priesthood?
Of course, sometimes it brings a sense of discouragement, but at the end of the day, you'll go back to the primary cause of your vocation, of my vocation. And it is not about the priest serving the church. It is about your relationship with God. The ministry comes from our intimacy with the Lord and not about our co-workers in the
vineyard. Right. Absolutely.
Father Ronio, you know, as a formator of a seminary, how do you ensure that no such, you know, act of violation will not happen amongst the seminarians?
Of course, first and foremost, we need to select wisely our candidates. So if we see some indications, some red flags that this particular seminarian is having problems with that issue, so we try to tell him. It's like what Father Verde said, it's a charitable act for him and for the church. So not all who want to become priests can enter the seminary, because again, priesthood is not a privilege, or it's not a right, it's a privilege. I mean,
right.
So it's not for you to choose, it's for God to choose you.
Right.
So we cannot say that if a person or if a young boy wants to become a priest but he has a problem with that issue, we can accept him. No, we tell him it's not about him, it's about God who is calling us. So again, it's in the selection of the candidates. Tony.
Thank you, Father Ronio. I don't have much questions. Only one question intended for Father Ferdy. Will you be assigned your own parish in Manila?
You know what, Tony? That's a good question. I don't know, to tell you the truth. You know, we priests, we go where we're needed, you know, and it's the bishop who decides where the need is. I certainly hope that, you know, I can be of service in that way. I've never been in a parish, ever. Like Father O'Neill, I was assigned to seminary as a deacon. And that's where I've spent most of my priesthood, in that environment, you know, a college, a university. I mean, when I was here in the Philippines, I taught here in the Philippines, actually, from 1998 to 2003. I taught at Ateneo. I taught at La Salle. I was a chaplain at UP. I taught at the seminary in Makati. I taught at the seminary in Bulacan. I was basically a teacher. I was a professor, a formator. Whether or not the Lord will assign me now or allow me the opportunity and the grace to, you know, to minister to people in a parish, I don't know. At this point, I leave that to, you know, to the bishops, you know, what they want to do with me. And, you know, as I've told my bishop here and my bishop over in Miami, do with me as you please. I'm here to serve. Wherever I'm needed, I'll do whatever is asked of me. So I don't know. So that's a simple answer, Tony. I really don't know.
Thank you, Father Faraday.
Sure.
Before we end this event, I would like to say apologies again for some technical issues. I have no idea what's going on. I want to thank my friend Moana Babe for hosting today, and also I set up a small community. Father Faraday is going to have his own podcast soon, which is titled Encuentro. So I formed a community group which is called Ka Encuentro. And if any one of you are interested, there are some members down, there are some members here listening to us. And if you wanted to join the group, you can send me a DM so we can ask you to join the group group chat. And hopefully we can help plan all this event, because the next event is really, really crucial that we need to record and impart this with a lot of people, because we're talking about marriage and family, and I'm sure a lot of people will be really, really interested about that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, thank you again, Reverend JL, for coming over. To Father Roniel, thank you, and thanks everyone. And Father Ferdy, for your last remarks and your final blessing, please.
Yeah. So once again, everybody, thank you for being here, you know, for joining us tonight. I certainly hope that in some small way, you know, we were able to, you know, allow you to have a little bit of a glimpse into our life as priests. It's a very ordinary life that's really dedicated to serving people. You know, more than anything else, it's about service, you know, as Deacon was saying, and Father O'Neill had also said earlier, that's why a man finds himself drawn towards the priesthood, because he just wants to serve. Yeah. And so the next time you see a priest celebrating Mass, that too is an act of service, you know, in the church. So once again, thank you so much. Before I do the final prayer, Tony, I just want everybody to know that, you know, I've been personally having problems with the fake accounts all over the place, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I there's nothing I can do about that. I've tried my best to let people know that there are, you know, individuals who have been creating fake accounts all over the place. Why, I really don't know, although some people have been scammed. So I just want you guys to be careful, and if you have the, you know, the possibility to let your friends know. I created a small group as well, which is a members only group. That way, you know, we can protect people, at least while I'm waiting for Facebook and Twitter to verify my accounts. But just so you know, be careful with the fake accounts that are there. Don't give your information to people who might be asking you for them. I will never ask those things from you guys. So once again, Tony, thank you so much for hosting tonight. And what's your friend's name? Who's our host?
What a babe. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for hosting us tonight. And you know, I hope we can see all of you guys for the next one, which is, as Tony said, you know, it's on family and marriage. Let's end our meeting tonight with a prayer. Thank you to Father O'Neill and to Deacon Gion. Deacon, say hello to Father Ian for me and to your dad. You know, I hope when the pandemic ends, I get to visit them. But good luck, and we're praying for you. We'll be there in spirit during your ordination on Friday, and I personally wish you many, many happy years of service to God's people. You know, the Lord will be with you. Take it one day at a time, and you know, ride the wave, enjoy the ordination, enjoy the day after, and enjoy the next couple of days afterwards. So with that, let's end with a prayer. Tony, can I end with a prayer now?
Oh, sorry, Father Fardy. Can I ask Father Roniel and Father Reverend JL for a few words? Sorry.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, please.
Reverend JL, do you want to say something?
Of course. Thank you for this opportunity, Sir Tony and Father Fardy. And this is my first time that I use Twitter. I only made this account for this event.
Thank you, though.
It's an opportunity for me. That's all.
And congratulations on many congratulations on Friday, and good luck.
Thank you.
Father Roniel.
Oh, thank you, Sir Tony, Father Ferdy, and Reverend JL, for the opportunity. Actually, it's also my first time to use Twitter Space. I have Twitter, but I have never used Twitter Space. So thank you for listening. We hope we inspire people so that they may serve the Lord more. And please stay connected. I have also my my different social media accounts. Good thing I don't have fake accounts like Father Ferdy. Not that famous. So please, all my social media accounts. They are in my Twitter, I don't know how you call them, my Twitter wall, because I'm not, I use the Twitter.
Your bio.
My bio. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yeah. Father Fardy, final blessing.
All right, let's say a final prayer, everybody. Let's pray for all of us and for our families, for, you know, for safety and protection, and, you know, for an amazing week ahead. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you for the grace of tonight. We thank you for the grace of friendship. Help us to recognize that you call each one of us, whether in the priesthood or in the single life or in married life, to love you and to serve you and to serve your people, because it is by doing so that we become truly happy, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Help us to recognize that true treasure and wealth is found not by hoarding things for ourselves, but by giving things in service of others. I ask you to bless most especially Reverend Jonas, about to be ordained this coming Friday. Bless him with many amazing years in the priesthood to serve you and your people. Help him to give himself fully, holding nothing back and keeping nothing to himself, so that he may give his life fully in the service of those people that you love. I ask you to bless especially Father O'Neill in his ministry to seminarians. He has a very important task preparing for your church and your people, good, holy, loving, and generous priests. We ask you to bless Tony and our host tonight. We ask you to bless Tony's mom especially, who is currently ill. And we ask you to bless every single person who has joined us tonight. Grant them peace of mind and of heart. Grant them all their heart's desires. And most especially, Lord, we ask you to bless and protect them and their families during this most difficult time of the pandemic. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Father Fardy, Father Roniel, and Reverend J.L. Father Babe, thank you again.
Thank you.
Everybody, good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Guys, if you wanted to join DECA Encuentro, please DM me. Thank you very much, everyone. Mother Babe, thank you. My God, thank you, Traga. Thank you.
Take care, Tony. Good night.
Good night.
Bye, Father.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it. Another episode has ended. Truly, the priesthood is not easy. The journey is truly beautiful and truly inspiring, especially the journey with discernment. If you enjoy knowing life of a priest, I would encourage you to listen to a podcast called In the Pews. In the Pews is hosted by Rudy Gonzalvo, and it's available on all podcast platforms and also on YouTube. It's a beautiful podcast and loads of very inspiring stories, especially that of Father Dat Hoang. He is a Vietnamese priest, and he is the parish priest of St. Faustina in Texas, in the States. And his story is just so beautiful. I hope you will find time to listen to that. Again, the podcast is called In the Pews. That's P-E-W-S. And it's available in all podcast platforms and on YouTube. And anyways, please do not forget to share this podcast, I mean my podcast, to all your family and friends. And please do not forget to rate my podcast. Give it a five star, please, so a lot of people will know and discover my podcast. And don't forget to follow and subscribe for more episodes. Till next time, everybody, this is Tony reminding each and every one of you that we are all beautiful like every colors of the rainbow. Till next time, everybody, God bless. Mwah. Bye, everybody. Bye.